one, you have to stop crime. And we're going to let the police do their job. They have to be given back their authority. They have to be able to do their job. And we're going to come into New York. We're making a big play for New York. Other cities do, but this city, I love this city. And it's gone so bad in the last 3 years, 4 years, and we're going to straighten New York out. So running for president, we're putting a big hit for New York. We think we can win New York.
President Trump yesterday in Harlem outside of a bodega, or a bogada if you prefer, a famous bodega in Harlem, because the shop owner there killed a criminal in his bodega about 2 years ago now. Became a big national news story because radical left-wing extremist DA Alvin Bragg put the store owner, the bodega owner, in jail in Rikers Island, a notorious hellhole of a prison, the likes of which you might find in Iraq. Rikers Island, because Democrats run it, and it's filled with their sons. Remember, the problem is not our guns. It's your sons, Democrats. Stop raising criminals, why don't you? That might be good. President Trump at the bodega yesterday, a couple of great moments and really a remarkable political event because President Trump has a great political instinct most of the time, an amazing political instinct most of the time. His instincts can be quite extraordinary 1 minute, and then the next minute you say, what, did he just say that? What is with that? But yesterday in New York, in Harlem, after he left the lynch mob, the Alvin Bragg lynching, he got in the motorcade, went up north in Manhattan, and went to Harlem and went to a famous or notorious bodega where a man was stabbed and killed while trying to rob and murder the bodega owner from the Dominican Republic. He has since returned to the Dominican Republic because he decided the Dominican Republic is a lot safer than New York. It's not yet run by Democrats, even though it's right next door to Haiti, where cannibalism is commonplace. And it's run by gangs that have taken over. And they share an island, Haiti, and the Dominican Republic, which we affectionately refer to as the DR. My best girl and I, we went on vacation to the Dominican Republic several years ago now. And my best girl got so sick from the food, we thought that we were both going to die. I wasn't even sick, but we thought maybe we could both die. But never mind that. He's returned to the Dominican Republic next door to the cannibal island that is Haiti because he believes it's safer to live next door to gangs that run a country, even if they're cannibals, than it is to live in New York because of Democrats. And he's probably right about that. So we got that going. We also have the mailbag today. Today is mailbag day, and I have the questions right here in front of me, ready to go. But am I ready to go? Because I have to answer questions, you know. In the meantime, let's get back to what we're talking about here, which is President Trump in New York. And he had his day in court of sorts, and they chose 7 jurors yesterday. Day one on Monday, 0 jurors were selected. Yesterday, rush, rush, rush. 7 jurors were selected, and they're looking for a jury pool of all Democrats, which is pretty easy to do in Manhattan. I believe that Manhattan, New York, has the second highest concentration of Democrat voters of any jurisdiction in the United States of America. I'm not sure what the highest is, but I heard a Republican member of Congress yesterday saying, yeah, Manhattan is the second highest concentration of registered Democrat voters of any jurisdiction in the United States. And so 7 jurors were found. Number one, a male who will be the 4-person or 4-man, if you prefer. He's a salesman who lives in Harlem, see? And he gets his news from the Daily Mail. It's out of Great Britain. This guy is originally from Ireland, so he might be a white guy living in Ireland, living in Harlem, originally from Ireland. And the New York Times and the Daily Mail and Fox News and MSNBC, they say a second juror is a female person, and the female person who is the second seems more liberal, says Newsweek magazine. Newsweek magazine, which, by the way, sold for $1 The whole, not the, you didn't, not one copy of the magazine at the newsstand. That's like $3. But if you wanted to buy the whole magazine, that was $1. That was kind of a strange deal, wasn't it? It wasn't. Juror number two, more liberal, Newsweek says. CNN, the New York Times, and then Google and Facebook. It's amazing. There are studies now that show that so many people, so many Americans get our news from Google and Facebook, which are not sources of news, but that's okay. But this one is a nurse at Memorial Sloan Kettering, a cancer hospital, and she's an oncology nurse, which is a cancer nurse. And she lives with her fiance, and she likes walking her dog. She didn't know nothing about no trial. Number three is a male originally from Oregon, lived in New York for 5 years, corporate law firms in New York, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and once again, Google, which is still not a news source. And he too likes hiking, which is why he lives in Manhattan. Interestingly, kind of strange. Number four, a male from Puerto Rico, lives the Lower East Side of Manhattan for 40 years, has two grandchildren that he knows of. And who else? Number five is female, as far as we can tell. Nobody's really checked to make it official. Number five is an English teacher at a private charter school, again in Harlem, Upper Manhattan, of course. She's a young African-American woman, and she says she doesn't really care for the news. So she, you know, doesn't know nothing about that. So we got that. And she thinks that President Trump speaks his mind. That's true. There's no doubt about that. He does speak his mind. She has a master's degree in education and lives with her brother. Sure, that's your brother. I get it. I believe it. And so we got that going. And then juror number six is female. Seven jurors chosen yesterday, zero chosen on Monday. Juror number six is a female juror, a young woman from New York City who lives in... I can't. I just can't. Because what am I, a biologist or something? I wonder if they have a biologist as part of the jury selection process so they can make determinations like this. Because, you know, you can serve on the Supreme Court without knowing what a woman is if you're a Democrat. There is no IQ test for Democrats. It's remarkable. Juror number six, female young woman from New York City, lives in Chelsea with three roommates. When she says roommates, we don't know really what that means, but she's a software engineer for the Walt Disney Corporation, and her sources for news are the New York Times and TikTok. TikTok is not a source of news, but that's okay. And maybe I'm just too traditional when it comes to this sort of thing. And her hobbies include going to the theater, restaurants, dancing, and watching TV. I'm not sure that's really a hobby either, watching TV. Yeah. And she asked Judge Juan Merchan, who is a left-wing radical political activist judge who hates Donald Trump and wants him to lynch him and wants to see him hanging from a tree, Judge Merchan. But she wanted to know if she could get out for her sister's wedding in September. I don't know, is your sister's wedding on a Thursday? And, you know, because usually those are often on Saturdays. But never mind that. Juror number seven is a male from North Carolina originally, another corporate lawyer who lives on the affluent Upper East Side. From North Carolina, corporate lawyer, you know, not a criminal defense attorney, lives on the Upper East Side. It's not out of the question that he could be a normal person, a normal American. Wouldn't rule that out. He should get on the jury and refuse to convict as a normal person, corporate lawyer. And that'd be good. Refuse to convict. Do the OJ thing. You know, even if you know he's guilty of a misdemeanor, you see that this is a lynch mob. And the criminal defense, the DA, the prosecutor, who's really a criminal defense attorney because he lets all the criminals go back on the street, Alvin Bragg, you know, he took misdemeanors and turned them into felonies with Donald Trump. He normally takes felonies and turns them into misdemeanors with murderers and real criminals. But this juror number seven, North Carolina, corporate lawyer, Upper East Side of Manhattan, If there is any chance of finding a Republican in Manhattan, it is likely from the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Lots of very expensive buildings, mostly. There are individual homes, houses, too, tend to be very, very expensive. I think Jeffrey Epstein had one of those. He was a Democrat, wasn't he? You know that because of all the child rape. That's a Democrat Party tradition. And he likes spending time with his children and in the outdoors. He likes the outdoors, too, which is why you live in Manhattan. Just kidding. But he's got probably his own children, too. He's from North Carolina. So he reads the New York Times, the Washington Post, left, and the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal. The New York Post is honestly the most relevant newspaper in the United States of America today. So, During the jury selection process, voir dire, he agreed that he had political views as to the Trump presidency and said it's likely he disagreed with some of the Trump administration's policies. I don't know the man, and I don't have opinions about him personally. I certainly follow the news. I'm aware there are other lawsuits out there, but I'm not sure that I know anyone's character, he said. So, bit of a mixed pool, but keep an eye on North Carolina corporate lawyer Upper East Side because you never know. You just never know. Now, let's go to President Trump because President Trump, again, left the lynching yesterday, went to the bodega on the Upper East Side of Manhattan not the Upper East Side. I was still reading the headline there. But in Harlem, which is Upper Manhattan, nonetheless. And it's kind of an amazing story because the bodega that he went to is where the employee there who was behind the counter was being robbed by a Democrat. And the employee from the Dominican Republic originally was being attacked by this criminal. And he defended himself and he stabbed the would-be robber and he killed the robber. And then Alvin Bragg, who is persecuting Donald Trump, threw the man running the bodega, Jose Alba, into Rikers Island, a hell-like prison north of New York City. And Jose Alba sat there, I believe, for 3 weeks in Rikers Island because Alvin Bragg was going to lynch him for fighting against criminals. And Alvin Bragg is pro-criminal and anti-self-defense. Now, let's go to soundbite number one. President Trump arriving at this bodega where Jose Alba defended himself against a violent criminal. He killed the violent criminal, defending himself. The crooked left-wing George Soros, pro-crime, pro-criminal DA, Alvin Bragg, who is the same man prosecuting Trump, threw the man who defended himself, Jose Alba from the Dominican Republic, threw him in jail for 3 weeks because he wanted to hang him for murder, charged him with murder when it was self-defense. The public outcry, even in New York, was so loud that even Alvin Bragg of the Soros clan, that's clan with a K, was forced to let Jose Alba out of Rikers Island. Jose Alba fled the United States back to the Dominican Republic because he'd rather live next door to cannibal gangs than live in Manhattan anymore. And when President Trump arrived at this bodega in Harlem yesterday. Four more years. How can that be? They're chanting 4 more years for Donald Trump in Harlem. They're people of mixed ethnic and racial backgrounds. That's unbelievable. Now, the kids, I was watching this live yesterday afternoon when President Trump was there. It's an amazing world, such technology. And still, audio quality gets worse and worse everywhere you go. But never mind that. A couple of kids in the crowd. First, there was a young girl, 11 years old or so. And she appeared to be Latina, not Latinx, like Joe Biden would say. Not Latinx. But a Latina girl, and then in front of her, a kid about her age. They look like maybe they went to school together. And he's an African-American boy. She's probably Latin American girl. And they saw Trump, and they started yelling.
I love you, Trump!
I love you, Trump!
I love you, Trump!
The little girl started the chant. The little boy jumped in. Then the whole crowd started chanting, "We love Trump." There were white people, there were black people, there were Latino people. And then President Trump came out and spoke to cameras. Had a lot to say. His Secret Service detail was maybe a little bit on edge. Extra eagle-eyed. It was a great moment, and I have that coming up for you.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
So while the Democrats were chanting death to America and America falls today, there is that it, that's the, what they were chanting in New York, the Democrats were, they're anti-American, they're pro-Iran, pro-Hamas, they're not on our side. But President Trump was at a bodega in Harlem and they were chanting 4 more years and we love you, Trump, and the crowd joined in and President Trump came and spoke to cameras.
I think what's going to happen is we're going to end up doing so well. We're way ahead in the polls of against Biden. Biden has destroyed our country. Look, Biden is the worst president in the history of our country, worse than Jimmy Carter by a long shot. Jimmy Carter's happy because he's had a brilliant presidency compared to Biden.
That's the meanest thing you could say about somebody. That has, you know, and the Democrats won't identify. It's like not a mean tweet. It's meaner than any of his tweets ever. It's the cruelest thing. He's destroying America. He's our worst president ever. Worse than Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter is, I've been saying this for 3 years now, Jimmy Carter is the only person that's happy about the Biden administration. President Trump outside the bodega.
Alvin Bragg does nothing. He goes after guys like Trump who did nothing wrong. Violent criminals, murderers, they know there are hundreds of murderers all over the city. They know who they are. They don't pick them up. They go after Trump.
Hundreds of murderers on the loose all over the city. That's true because of the unsolved homicide rate in New York. President Trump on the corrupt George Soros DA.
This is a very exciting time for me because the bodegas, the association, invited me. And I respect them and they respect me. They want law and order. They have a lot of crime, tremendous crime, where their stores are being robbed.
And Alvin Bragg, the Bodega Association invited him. Great stuff, Alvin Bragg.
We have to straighten out New York, and that includes crime. And these guys have great people, great friends, but they have tremendous crime.
Tremendous crime. Oh, the Democrats like crime. They want more crime. That's why they put all the criminals back on the street. That's why Alvin Bragg puts the criminals on the street, but then pursues the political enemies of the Democratic Party like we're in a third world banana boat.
As distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx.
Bam, 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 bam. And it is mailbag day. I have mailbag questions right in front of me, right in my hand right now. I get to those. President Trump in Manhattan, in Harlem yesterday, going to the bodega, or the bogada, as not a Dr. Jill Biden would call it. She can't pronounce it, but she doesn't have to.
As distinct as the bogadas of the Bronx.
As distinct as the bogadas of the Bronx. And again, this bodega was the scene of an episode in which District Attorney Alvin Bragg threw the man who was nearly murdered by a criminal in prison for 3 weeks while trying to find a way to lynch him. And the public outcry in New York was so loud that eventually they had to let Jose Alba go. Jose Alba, who was, Upper Manhattan, Harlem, he was running the store. And Austin Simon, a career criminal, came in And Simon had tried to attack him, climbed over the counter in a violent attempted robbery. Alba famously charged by Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, but was freed after widespread public outrage, the Daily Mail reports. He gave up on New York afterward and moved back to the Dominican Republic, where he originally come from. It's unclear if he was invited to the meeting last night, with the bodega owners and operators that invited President Trump, and President Trump went. To a hero's welcome, according to the Daily Mail. Just remarkable. And Jose Alba defended himself against a violent criminal that attacked him in his store. He defended himself, and the Democrats tried to hang the innocent victim who had the temerity to defend himself against a criminal that the Democrats raised and put on the street and then arrested and then put on the street again because, you know, the Democrats are the anti-police. They are the anti-police. They're anti-democratic, too. The Democratic Party isn't. At the time of the event, footage clearly showed that Simon, the criminal, had moved behind the counter at the convenience store in Hamilton Heights and pushed the store clerk into a stack of shelves before grabbing him. And then it was only then that Alba reached over the shelf, pulled out a knife to fight back. And according to the Daily Mail, Trump used the case in his ongoing campaign to paint his Democratic opponents as soft on crime. The Democrats keep helping with that, don't they? Honestly, all you have to do is point out what they do, and then they are painted as soft on crime because they are so soft on crime. I don't know if you saw this, but the Democrat mayor in Denver, Colorado, has announced an $8 million budget cut to the police budget because they need the millions of dollars for all the illegal aliens that the Democrats have waved into the country, including gang members from Venezuela, gang members from Central America, MS-13, and on and on and on. But your Democrat Party is not only soft on crime, they are crime. They are part of the crime. Who do you think's committing all these crimes? Honestly, if you saw a MAGA hat-wearing person commit a crime, that person would become the most famous person in the country for several months. The news media would cover every moment of the trial. They would demand the most severe penalties. But we know that they're Democrats. You know, the Democrat Party's fighting to make sure that every incarcerated person in America can vote on Election Day. But never mind that. Anyway, Jose Alba, eventually the charges were dropped after outrage in New York at Alvin Bragg. And Alvin Bragg is now the guy prosecuting Donald Trump. He's a political hack, a left-wing radical, a George Soros extremist, and he should be deported to the Dominican Republic. He's an American, but he should be deported to the Dominican Republic, actually to Haiti. He should go hang out with barbecue and the cannibals, I think. Amazing stuff. All right, let's get to what the Democrats were doing yesterday, because the Democrats were on the streets of New York, and they were chanting death to America and burning the American flag and waving terrorist flags, literally the Hezbollah flag, being waved by these lunatics because the Democrats are not on our side. Remarkable stuff. The headline of the Washington Post today is the front page, Dumbass for Hamas. Dumbass for Hamas. See, Hamas and Hamas. That's the thing. Flag burners, terror lovers, and a guy who didn't know graffiti is illegal. March against Israel. And this guy is an NPR. Is it the NPR or New York Times? I'll get to that guy. He's graffitiing, you know, like death to Israel in the subways of New York. And he was actually arrested for it, amazingly. I'll get to that one, though, in a couple of minutes. Amazing stuff. Yes, sir. By the way, I did go and pull this because it matters. And this is from about a month ago. A poll taken by Palestinian University found that over 70% of Palestinians, more than 7 out of 10 Palestinians, still maintain that Hamas was correct to commit the slaughter, the massacre, the tortures, the genital mutilations, the kidnapping and rapes of October 7th. More than 70% of Palestinians. Let's start dropping daisy cutters on these. Start dropping Moabs on these animals. Honestly, I apologize to animals. A poll released by the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research found last month that support, they say, declining levels, finds declining levels of support for Hamas in both the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Although the percentage who believe the terror group's October 7th onslaught was correct is virtually unchanged. According to the survey by Palestinians, 71% of Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank are in favor of and support the October 7th massacres, which left more than 1,200 people murdered, 253 others kidnapped, raped, tortured, and most of them eventually murdered as well. And most Palestinians are all in favor of that, which means I'm not all in favor of Palestinians. They can expletive deleted themselves, honestly. That's kind of important. Now let's go to what these people were doing in New York because they're pro-jihad. These are all Democrats, all Democrat voters, no Republicans, none of that stuff. And this is what it sounded like in Manhattan.
Yeah, we got a fire flag.
America falls today. America goes down. I think it's fair to say they're anti-American. Shut it down. And America falls today. America will fall now. Shut it down. These are white, college-educated, left-wing Democrats, perfectly in the mainstream of the Democratic Party. Just remarkable stuff. And this is going on in New York while President Trump is up in Harlem being cheered with four more years, right? And in the midst of all of this crazy anti-Israel protester and New York Times freelancer, he's with the New York Times, not full-time, just a freelancer. He's a New York Times writer and employee. Anti-Israel protester, New York Times freelancer, busted for subway graffiti, then whines that he had no idea it was illegal. Anti-Israel protester, New York Times contributor, was busted for scrawling pro-terror graffiti in a Park Slope, New York subway station, then complained he had no idea defacing public property was against the law. Well, it would be hard to tell in New York City since it's so covered with insane, mentally ill Democrat graffiti everywhere. Kyle Turner, his name, 30 years old, a Brooklyn-based author, editor, allegedly, moaned in an X thread that he was, quote, annoyed and tired, end quote, after his run-in with cops earlier in the day. I spent last night in jail because I wrote ceasefire/free Palestine. I write F Palestine, but that's a different thing. I don't really do graffiti. But if I did, it would be a four-letter word beginning with F, but it wouldn't be free Palestine. In the 7th Avenue Park Slope subway station at 2 a.m., this lunatic, and here he is, he's got a picture of himself posted on social media, Kyle Turner, and he put devil horns on himself, taking a picture of himself in a what looks like a mirror in a subway stop bathroom because he's a New York Times contributor and a typical Democrat. He's amazing. The guy's doing Free Palestine graffiti in New York, and he's a New York Times writer. And his social media, he has famously touted radical stuff in the past, and this picture of him with devil horns that he added to the photograph. He writes for the left-wing radicals at Slate magazine who hate America, where he wrote a piece in 2017 titled, Is There a Place for Torture Porn? Is There a Place for Torture Porn? Is the title of his article in Slate magazine. I think that his answer was probably yes, and that's why he still walks funny. He walks a little funny. That's the thing. And he claims he did not resist arrest an officer who he described as a lesbian. He described the police officer as a lesbian. Tried to throw me around, he says. Looking at the guy, I'm thinking any police officer, lesbian or not, would be able to throw him around quite easily. It was so stupid, he said. You're a New York Times contributor, and you're doing graffiti in the subway at 2 a.m. and putting devil horns on yourself and writing about the merits of torture porn, and you think that anybody else is? Honestly, I sincerely didn't know graffiti in the subway, which I see all the time, was an arrestable offense, said the New York Times contributor. But I also can't believe our tax dollars go to cops focusing on minor infractions. Probably should have shot him in the leg. Just shoot him in the leg, and that had cut down on graffiti there. That's amazing. He's complaining and complaining. And then it was time in New York City, chanting, time for America to fall, burning American flags. America will fall today, or America will fall now. New York City Democrats.
What do you think about USA?
What do I think about the USA? It should burn. Death to America.
Death to America. What? And again, they're white people. They're not Arabs. They're not Muslims. They're white, college-educated, self-described liberals. What do I think about America? America should burn. It should burn it down. Burn now. Death to any death to America. Chance, let's save that sound, by the way. Maybe make that your ringtone or something on your cell phone. Amazing. Now, Fox News reporter Hillary Vaughn on Capitol Hill yesterday went to Democrat members of Congress to ask the Democrat members of Congress, like the radical Ayanna Pressley and AOC, and said, what do you think about Democrats burning the American flag and chanting death to America, destroy America, burn it down?
Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge were burning the American flag and chanting death to America. Do you support that type of protest?
Ayanna Pressley. She scowls.
Do you support burning the American flag and chanting death to America?
Silence is complicity. Honestly, these people are terrorists. They're pro-terrorists. Ayanna Pressley is anti-American. Then Hillary Vaughn saw Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Does it sound like this is pro-Palestinian or anti-American if they're burning American flags and chanting death to America?
I'm not privy to I haven't seen these reports. I'd have to check for them myself.
She's never seen a garbage disposal either or lettuce growing in the ground. Just amazing. And then Hillary Vaughn saw the Fox News reporter, Katie Porter. You know, the earth is on fire and we're all going to die soon, Katie Porter.
Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge burned the American flag and chanted death to America. Do you condemn this type of rhetoric?
We've got to get her onto her next event.
Are you okay
with people burning the American flag?
She is.
If you'd like to follow up with us.
That's a staffer.
Are you okay with people chanting death to America?
Brushing her off. A white man.
Sorry, we've got to head into
Congresswoman Porter, are you okay with people chanting death
she
to
is.
America?
She is okay with death to America and burning the
is
American
it okay?
flag.
Do you not have a problem with it?
The Democratic Party isn't.
Reach out here.
Democrat congressperson after Democrat congressperson and not a single Democrat elected official in Washington, D.C., the Congress of the United States would condemn Democrats burning the American flag, chanting death to America. America hadn't even gotten to death to Israel. These people are anti-American. The Democrat Party is anti-American. Hillary Vaughn and Democrat Summer Lee.
Anti-Israel protesters have been shutting down bridges and blocking entrances to airports. Are you okay with that type of protest?
I don't have anything to do with that type of protest. Go ask the people who are doing it.
Go ahead. Yeah, well, you're a member of Congress. I don't know what your IQ is. I'm thinking it might be in the single or low double-digit range. But I'm asking you as a member of Congress whether you're okay with Americans burning the American flag in favor of Hamas and Iran and chanting death to America, burn America down. Every stinking Democrat asked about it. Elected national federal government officials asked about it. Every Democrat demurred at best. And then Hillary Vaughn had the car door of the big black SUV polluting our environment slammed in her face. The door slammed in her face. Every Democrat, you know, silence is just using their own phrases here, their own bumper stickers. Silence is complicity. You are complicit in the Death to America movement. That is the Democrat Party, the American flag burning movement. You know, in Washington, when you go into a store to buy American flag, they've got a Democrat package. It comes with a lighter. So you can burn it as soon as you leave. It's the only reason a Democrat would buy an American flag is to set it on fire and burn it.
The earth is on fire, and we're all going to die soon.
USC, the University of Southern California, has canceled the speech that was to be given by their racist lunatic valedictorian because they claim that some right-winger was going to come and try to kill her or something because she's a genocidal anti-Semite and these terrible right-wingers are pro-Israel. And wait till you hear this story. It's an amazing story. And this lunatic fringe left-wing woman was on CNN last night, and I want to share these stories with you because it's quite remarkable indeed. Now, the Democrats, let's go to Google. Let's go to Google because the Google Corporation, the thing that ate the world or one of the things that's eating the world, Google employees occupy office of boss until contract with Israel is dropped. They're anti-Israel. They're anti-Semites. They accuse you of being genocidal, and then they call for the extermination of the state of Israel. The Jews were nearly eliminated as a population of people in a genocide perpetrated by the Socialist Workers' Party of Adolf Hitler. But listen to these people. They took over the office of their boss at Google, and they said they weren't going to leave. I think they've been arrested and put into a gas chamber and killed. It was quite sad. Google employees actively occupying California office, Google Cloud CEO Thomas Kurian.
Google, Google, you can't hide.
We charge you with genocide.
We charge you with genocide.
We charge Google, you with genocide.
Google, you can't hide. No.
Google, Google, you can't hide.
You are funding genocide.
You are funding genocide.
Well, you're working for the company. You should all resign because you're against genocide, right? But the genocide they're talking about is not a genocide at all. It's the war that Israel is having with Hamas in the Gaza. They use the word genocide even in chants, and they don't know what it means. Also, and I've got more on that. And then what do you hear this valedictorian story? This is crazy.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot.
But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.